going to talk about the power of God. From the very beginning, before the world was ever made, we don't know what all of that was back there, do we? Praise the Lord. Our God is great. Amen. Our God is a great God. Yes. Praise the Lord. He just spoke the word and the earth was flung out there in space. He created the heavens and the earth just by his word. We can't imagine that because we're just humans. But we praise the Lord, don't we, that we have a God that is so great. How great is our God? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just praise the Lord. I wrote in my margin here, my notes, I said, what is the factor that causes the earth to stay in orbit? What causes? Well, you know, they have scientists figured out, you know, it's magnetism of some kind or something, you know. But we know that there are planets that get off course and crash every once in a while, or meteorites that crash into things. But what is that factor that causes the earth to stay in orbit? Right now, God is dealing with the people of the earth. He's trying to get us to walk with God, walk with him, and yield our lives to him. And he's going to keep this little ball going until his purpose is brought completely to its end. Hallelujah. What holds the planets and the stars in their places in the skies? What does that? Our great God. God's power. God's power. We don't even understand the power of God. What we're going to do, we're going to turn, first of all, to Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. Old Testament Jeremiah, one of the prophets there in there when Israel was being so disobedient and had to go into captivity, scattered all around. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. The Old Testament prophets, the Lord really revealed himself to them often. And this is in verse 10 that we're going to read, chapter 10 of Jeremiah, verse 10. It says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Isn't that something? Jeremiah prophesying to Israel. They were so disobedient to the Lord. And notice in verse 7, he calls the Lord, O King of nations. God is in control, not man. Man likes to think he is. And man is always concocting something, isn't he? He's going to bring his thoughts about. And a lot of times they're just a big mess. But the Lord is the true God, the creator of all things. He is the living God, praise the Lord, and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Verse 12, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. That's interesting, isn't it? He made the earth by his power. You know, we've often used the term, he spoke the word and it is done. He speaks the word and it is done. That's how he deals with us in our lives. When he changes something in our lives by his power, he just wills it or he speaks it and it just comes about. So there, as the earth was being made, he made it by his power, by speaking his word. He didn't have to go and start using some kind of substance and cramming it together to try to make the earth or to make the planets or whatever. Just speaking the word, because he is the God Almighty, the supreme ruler of all. It says he hath made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom, and he has stretched out the heavens by his discretion, by his discretion, by his will, whatever his will was for it. The word power here, by his power, It means in the Old Testament, the Hebrew language, it means vigor or ability, strength or might. By his own power, by his own strength and might, he brought everything into existence. Praise the Lord. We're going to look in the New Testament now, but I'm going to just quote this one verse. St. John 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So it's by his power that he was able to make all of these things come into existence. So turn with me in your Bible to Colossians. We're going to go to the book of Colossians, and we're going to go to the first chapter of Colossians, verse 15. What Paul says. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. He says in verse 14, in whom, speaking of Christ, well, in verse 13 it says of his dear Son, and then it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in the heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, which speaks of nations, or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Isn't that beautiful? Before the birth of Christ, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was told by the angel Gabriel that she would conceive and bear a child, and his name would be called Jesus, and he would be the one that would redeem the world from their sin. Praise the Lord. She was told, we could turn there if you want to look at it, Luke 1. Luke 1, one of the statements there shows exactly what I'm trying to get at today. I'm trying to bring to you about the power of the Lord. And you and I know that it's impossible for a woman to be pregnant unless she has a male partner. That's the way it is. But here was Mary, a virgin, in chapter 1, verse 34 through 35, we're going to read. And when the angel told her she was going to be conceive and have a child, she spoke up in verse 34 and said, Mary to the angel, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So they're talking about the power of the highest. This word here means the miraculous power, or the miracle, or the ability of the highest. And that's the God we deal with. He is the God of all power. He's the one who has created all these vast things out there in the universe and everything. He's prepared a place for us to be when we leave this life. And if we're translated or if we go on by the way of grave, he provides all of this for us. It's by his power and his miracle ability. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And to think of that he reduced the Son of God into a little tiny cell inside of Mary. Just a little tiny cell when he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing, our God. He has so much power. He can do anything. He can do anything. Jesus called himself the Son of God, Son of Man, often. You remember that, the Son of Man? In Daniel 7:13, it's even there in the prophecy that the Son of Man is going to come back. And so when Jesus was walking around on the earth, he very seldom said Son of God. He mostly said Son of Man, showing his humanity. And yet he was God. He was God's Son. We don't understand all of that. If you understand all of that, let me know, okay? How that there's a Trinity, and yet there's how God works through all parts of that Trinity. They're one in nature, aren't they? And so he came and the power of the highest was what brought him here to this earth. And Jesus had power in his crucifixion. You believe that? It looked like they captured him and nailed him, beat him all up really good, and then nailed him to the tree. Didn't look like he had much power, but he did. In John 10:18, he said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." We often think about that when he's on the cross. He was suffering so much. They'd crammed that thorns into his head, that crown. They had beaten him. Just almost a lot of people would die from the beating that he received. And he lived through that with his back just shredded and beaten. He lived through all of that. And he had the power that he could have just said, "It's enough. I'm not doing this." But yet he was here to do the will of his Father, and the power of God that was with him kept him on the cross, kept him there until redemption was paid for. Great power. I have power. I can just lay it down if I don't want it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Let's turn to Philippians 2. Philippians is such a beautiful chapter that in whole book, but it seems like we go back to this second chapter an awful lot in talking about what the Lord has done. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 5 of chapter 2 of Philippians, we call it the 7 downward steps that the Lord Jesus went through. Praise the Lord. So beginning, and we're just going to read it mostly, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That means to grab at something. It wasn't like he said, "Well, listen here, God the Father. I am equal with you. Why are you making me be the one to go down to the earth and become a human being?" You know that Jesus still is a glorified human being. Still has that body. That's amazing when you think of it. How could he do that, and why would he? To win us to himself, to have a bride for himself. So he was in the form of God, and he thought it not robbery or something to be grasped at, to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, and the word translated servant in the New Testament actually is the word slave. Slaves had no status. They were bought and sold. Every time Rome would conquer a country, they would make the people slaves and take all they wanted. And he was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. Praise the Lord. That's what he was saying when he said, "No man takes it from me, but I lay down my life." Praise the Lord. I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And in 2 Corinthians 13:4, it's kind of surprising how many times that the word power is. In this verse, it says, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by what?" Does anybody know? The power of God. He liveth by the power of God. That is beautiful to think about. Here he was. He was a human. He was there in that grave for 3 days and 3 nights. And there, that power of God came upon him, and he was resurrected from the dead. Beautiful. The power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to turn to the book of Ephesians now. Ephesians, the first chapter. See, we have to do this every once in a while where we kind of scramble around with the scripture. so that we keep all of you nimble about finding the scripture. Okay, Ephesians, of course, is such a wonderful book, and Paul has such an exciting message here. Glory to God. So we're going to begin reading with verse 18. Paul is saying, it's a prayer here, and he says, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's going to have an inheritance in the people of God that God brings there, especially in his bride. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And then going on into verse 19. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So we have power there twice. Paul's really wanting to emphasize that to us. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Just think of that, how the child Jesus being conceived there by the Holy Spirit and growing up to be the Savior of the world, the sacrifice. Think of all of that, how that all worked. Not by anything that man did at all, but by the power of God, as he says here, the exceeding greatness of his power. Praise the Lord. I have written up here that this is the word dunamis, which is the same word for dynamite. Big explosion. Except this did not tear things apart. This created things. God moved, and by his great power to usward who believe. Us who believe are the called of the Lord, as he said there in verse 18, the hope of his calling. We're called of the Lord and given us all of these privileges that we can believe in the Son of God as our Savior. We can seek after him and be approved by him in our yieldedness to him and be ready for the coming of the Lord. So there is an exceeding greatness of this power. We can't express it. I can't express it to you this morning how wonderful this is. I hope you can realize how wonderful the power of God is. It takes us where we were, and it changes us into his image. It's the power of God. And then when we're filled with the Spirit, too, the Holy Spirit, you know, is there. He's working all the time. He's the power of God, too, isn't he? Praise the Lord. And he says it's to us. This great power is to us who believe. And it's all according to the working of his mighty power. This is all determined before the world began. The mighty power of God that will work in this earth. They gave the number of how many people had died from COVID. And, you know, you can't help but think, I wonder how many of those people were saved. I wonder how many of them knew Jesus. But think of the miracle of the new birth, how that the Holy Spirit will convict a person of their sins and they want to receive Christ. They come to receive Christ and have him live in them. What a wonderful, mighty power, the working of his mighty power. And we see that all the time in our lives. I hope and pray all of you do. I see how God has led my life, how he has protected me so many times, how he's always right there for me. I pray and he just comes right in and gives me deliverance and victory. That mighty power that's working, his mighty power is working to usward who believe. That's one of the little things is we've got to believe. He can't really do his full job in us by his power when we're in unbelief, if we're not really seeking after him with our whole heart. So what we want to do is be like the slave that says, here I am. Use me. Take me. Use me. Just give it all to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 20, this mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That same power that raised Christ up out of that grave is the power that we have, the power that's worked in our lives, the power that gives us strength to keep on going, that power of the Holy Spirit that works in us, the power that gives us a victorious attitude. All of that is the power of God. So remember, you're dealing with the power of God. You're not dealing with your own strength. A lot of times we feel like, I can't do this. No, I'm tired. I don't want to do this. But our strength is, it's not based on our strength. It's based on the power of God working in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so good. Praise the name of Jesus. And then the power for us to become the sons of God, what it provided for us. We have, and we won't look at this verse, but 1 John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot become the children of God by our own strength or by anything, any works that we do. We cannot keep ourselves saved by any works of our own that we do. The power we have received him, he's given us power to become the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the children of the living God. You can say that about yourself. You know, Jesus, I am a child of the living God. He has made the power there for me to become his child. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What does that mean, the gospel? That's the teaching that Jesus Christ is our Savior and we can come and believe in him and be saved. That's part of the gospel, the message. And when we believe that message, there's power there that is unto salvation to everyone who believes. Here we are again on believing, on faith. Faith is what unlocks the power of God. When we lack faith, we usually go around, nothing's happening. But how do we get faith? The Bible says that it's by the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We ask God to help us. Faith then comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that faith gives us the power. Praise the Lord. And in verse 12 there, he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power. He gave us the power to become the children of God. So we can't say, look at me, I was so good and God saved me. No, we're rotten. That's why that we needed the Savior. We needed the Lord, and he gave us that power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. It's interesting that Paul used that word so much. He did. He liked that word. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish, those that refuse the acceptance of Jesus Christ. It is just foolishness to them, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Just kind of a neat thing to look up how many times that the power of God is used. And on the other hand, how weak we are. You know, a lot of times God allows a trial to come into our life to show us how weak we are. If we get to kind of strut in our stuff and say, you know, well, I can do, I'm really an overcomer, I really can do this, we're probably going to go through a deep trial that shows us that we have to be dependent upon the Lord to do anything. It's his power that has to be manifest. Let's look in the book of Acts. Acts, the first chapter, we see that the power of God came down upon the church in the early days there, just right after Jesus was resurrected, just a few days later. And it was the power of God being manifest. We'll be reading with chapter 1, verse 6. When they were therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. We might want things to go a certain way, but the Lord has all of the times and the seasons in his power. Isn't that interesting? He's got it all figured out already. And sometimes we don't like what's happening, and we might say, Lord, do it now. Have you ever said that to the Lord? I can't stand it. I can't wait any longer. Do it now, Lord. And sometimes he just pats us and says, wait on the Lord. I'll do it when it's my time. Something we have to learn in life. He's put this in his own power. The times and the season, I think he was restoring back to, you know, he has this divine plan, and they wanted to know when Israel was going to be restored and become the major kingdom of the world and all that. And he's saying, there's a divine plan, the times and the seasons, and God has that in his power. It's not going to anything happen until he does that. He moves in his own power. And then notice what it says in verse 8. He's talking about power, but then he says, you can receive the power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. And then immediately he was just caught up to heaven. His last words were telling them to receive the Holy Spirit into their life, and that Holy Spirit power, that power dynamic power of the Holy Spirit would be in us. It would be a gift from the Lord, that power of God. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful, wonderful thing to know that. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6:3. 2 Corinthians 6, another time that this power of God is worked, is seen. We're going to begin reading with verse 3. In this chapter, Paul is kind of summarizing his message. This is chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. Paul is kind of saying, this is what we did. We had lots of imprisonments. We had lots of labors. We had lots of watchings and trials and things. We're going to begin reading with verse 3. He says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. For in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and in fastings. So Paul just kind of lays out there what a Christian life is like. We don't have a bed of ease once we become a Christian. In fact, a lot of times we have a lot of trials. And the Lord is working through those trials in our life, trying to give us this beautiful power that he wants to give us. And so Paul enumerates and talks about all of those things. And then in verse 6 he says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, and by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. But I think of all the things that he lists here, that added phrase, by the power of God, I think it speaks to us. We cannot go through trials and tests without relying on the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, the power of God over our lives. And I know that most of us here have gone through a lot of hard trials and tests. We've had to call out to God, I can't do this. I can't stand this. Sometimes I've said that. I can't stand this. He knows what we can stand. We say those words. We don't really mean that. But notice that phrase, that it's by the power of God, by the word of truth. The word of truth in verse 7 there, that's what gives us our hope. We read what the word says, that he's the mighty God. He's over everything. He's going to help us, and it helps us to lay hold of that power of God. Isn't that true? I find that's true. Glory to God. God is just so good. Hallelujah. I'm sure that if you look up some things, you're probably going to find a lot more times that the word power, the power of God, is used. But these are the times that I felt impressed with. And we don't have this power in ourselves. I could ask a show of hands. How many of you feel like you're strong in yourself? But you know what happens when we're strong in ourselves? We fail. We fall down, and we realize then, I have to have God's strength, or I'm not going to make it through this. I have to have God's strength. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I look back on my life, and I think the many times when it just looked so dark, when it looked like there was no hope, where my husband was suffering so much, bleeding all over the place. I'm so glad for the power of his might. I hope that you look back on your life and think that too, that God was there. And unless he had taken care of you, where would you have been? He was there. He was manifesting his power. And we're going to look here in Ephesians. Let's look one more scripture. I'll try to quote some of them if our time runs out. But let's go to Ephesians, the third chapter. Paul's beautiful writings. Dear Paul suffered so much. He knew. He knew the power of God, didn't he? Chapter 3, verse 6. It's talking about what the Lord had done through him, bringing about the Gentiles. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. See, God calls a person to be a minister or to be in some position. So then what's going to happen? He's going to have to do some work. Some work has to start going on in our life. Trials come. We learn to trust the Lord. We learn to stand up and by the grace of God. And so he says there, yes, God has me as a minister. He's given me this gift of the grace of God and effectual working of his power. Yes, that's effectual working of his power. That's what caused Paul to know what he did. It was a revelation from God. That's what kept Paul going over and over and again, being beaten, being left for dead outside of the city in one place, stoned to death. They knew what it was for a person to be dead. I'm sure they checked him. But God raised him up. And none of us have gone through that. But whatever that we go through, it's the effectual working of God's power. God is in control. He is the one with whom we have to do, the scripture says. The scripture tells us that he's the one that's in control. He sees our life. He sees exactly what we need. If we are really self-centered or prideful, he'll make sure we're not. Trials come, and they work in us and take out those things that are not like God. And that's really what we want, isn't it? Yes, we really want him to work in us. We don't want to be the same old person as usual. Notice in verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I would preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So that's what God did. He humbled Paul, and he manifested his power and his effectual work right there through Paul, through his message, through his going from place to place, preaching the word of God, being so full of it, full of the grace of God. In 2 Peter 1, let's go there. 2 Peter 1, 2, we'll finish here. I'll give you hope. I hope you're not being bored. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3. And it says there, Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Praise the Lord. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So this is such a beautiful scripture, isn't it? The divine power that has given us all things. The divine power. It's not us. It isn't our goodness or how good a speaker we are or anything like that. It's the divine power of God. Praise the Lord. In the Amplified Version, it says, for his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for our dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't he?